T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Station.
Good morning,
Yairia.
It's time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7 The Game.
Come on.
Yes, sir. Good morning, family. Stephen Langford in with you. And we are going to be spending this entire hour about the legendary Choco Taco, discontinued after almost 40 years of being in business. That's what we're going to do. The entire hour is going to be the Choco Taco hour. It's a sad day in America. All right, we're not really going to spend the entire hour talking about that, but the Choco Taco discontinued. It's one. I first tried the Choco Taco back when Taco Bell and the Choco Taco. I feel like I have to say that name as much as possible. When they teamed up. And Taco Bell was giving out the Choco Tacos. It was delicious. Then they were giving them out at the ice cream trucks and everything. Wow. Ice cream trucks. Haven't been to one in quite a while, but the Choco Taco was always a go-to. Very sad about that. So, you know, it's a sad day in America. The Choco Taco discontinued. But we actually have some sports to get into. Because Kyle Shanahan, we heard him speak really for the first time since their draft interviews, their draft pre-draft press conferences with Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. We haven't really heard much from them. You know, it's always a lot of just reports from the outside. It's always the talks with here within the media. It's, you know, quarterback tiers. We're hearing from rival coaches, even though we don't know what type of coaches or executives are anonymously speaking. And I'm speaking of Mike Sando's article in The Athletic, where he let some rival coaches just trash on whichever quarterback he was rating. So we can get to all of that in today's show. But I did want to start off with the Giants, and I don't even want to break down that game last night. I don't want to. They lost 7-0. They didn't get a hit until the sixth inning. By the end of the sixth inning, after Luis Gonzalez led things off with the double, couldn't bring home a run. At the end of the sixth inning, they were already down 5-0. And I think Giants fans, they said, you know what? I don't want to watch the back third of this game anymore. I'm going to go watch. Oh, I don't know. I'm going to go watch The Boys. I'm going to go watch a movie. I'm going to go watch anything other than what the Giants are putting out there, this product on the field, which just feels like it has given up. But I do want to spend this first segment talking about Larry Bear, because Larry Bear was at the Commonwealth Club yesterday and held a press conference, and he spoke on a variety of topics. Just to give you a fair warning about today's show, because as I mentioned, we are going to talk a lot about Kyle Shanahan and what he had to say on Tim Kawakami's podcast, the TK Show, because he said a lot. He said a lot. And I think 49er fans, you're in a very advantageous position as a football fan. Just as a football fan in general. So I do want to get to that. But it's going to be a big sound show today. A lot of sound is going to be played. What do you know? On an audio medium, you're playing sound? Wow, revolutionary, Stephen. But Larry Bear, he spoke about the Giants at the trade deadline and star power and all these different things. But I want to start off with this first one here, talking about stars and whether you need to get them at the deadline, whether you can get them through free agency, or whether they should be or can be homegrown.
I would say that having a star or two is highly desirable, but 2 points. One is you can't mortgage the farm for the star, because if you get to have a star, but the team craters in a worse position. And the second point is stars can be homegrown. So Buster, as you remember, was a Giants draft pick. Another incredibly popular Giant, a star, Lensica, homegrown. Madison Bumgarner, homegrown. So you can also do it that way. It takes a little longer. Barry, of course, was a free agent signing in our first year. It was our first move. So I would say it's highly desirable, but not at the expense of team performance.
So as far as them having homegrown stars, I was thinking about it. And really, ever since their time when Oracle Park was Pac Bell Park and it was the house that Barry built, you had Barry Bonds playing on those teams. And in the early years, the team was good. And after that, in between, you know, the World Series years and then leading up to 2007, 2008, even with Barry on the team, there were some down years since then. But there really wasn't a lot of lag time in between having the greatest baseball player of all time in Barry Bonds and having your homegrown players. But the lag time that we've had since that 2016 team leading up to now with not having any stars and only having some of these grown players, along with, you know, small free agent signings here and there, which had turned into guys like, you know, Kevin Gausman and Carlos Rodon and, you know, certain players like that, little trades here and there. But there was a lot of lag time in between then. And last year, I think we can agree now, it was an outlier. The Giants overachieved. And I don't think that's so much of a bad thing just to say that a team overachieved, but it might put a wrench into some of your plans and make you rethink some of what they were doing, because they were essentially in a rebuild in 2019. And then 2 seasons later, you're not in a rebuild. There was a lot of murkiness going on, but we've never really had that lag time. And I think that now we're in this new wave here where we don't even know what the future is going to look like as Giants fans. Like ever since 2009, when guys like Madison Bumgarner and Buster Posey and Tim Lincecum and all of those guys who were homegrown players, when they were on the come up, you were just done with Barry Bonds having a historic career just over a year ago. But now it's been 6 years, besides that 107-win season, since you've really gotten that star on the team. Logan Webb is emerging right now. Can agree with that. Camilo Doval is emerging. But how valuable is a closer when you're playing on a team that doesn't get into many close games toward the end of the game because they're constantly losing? Like, how many opportunities is Camilo Doval going to get? Plus, he's had some shaky outings here and there this season. He hasn't been perfect. I understand that stars need to be homegrown, but man, I don't want to go back to just talking about Posey and Bumgarner and Barry Bonds, because those times are done. We're on to a new wave here, a new generation of Giants baseball. And it's been off to a slow start. Now, me, this is the type of fan that I am of the Giants. I'd love to win right now, but I'm personally looking forward to these minor league guys, and maybe I'm just biased because, you know, I went to a few of those San Jose Giants games a couple of years ago, and I saw these dudes in, you know, Marco Luciano and Luis Matos and Kyle Harrison. I'd seen all these dudes live, and I couldn't wait till they got called up, but that was 2 years ago. Maybe just over a year ago, actually, when I saw Luciano. But those guys haven't made it to AAA yet. They're nowhere near the big club. I'm excited for them, but you know, it's hard being patient as a sports fan. Now, the talk is the trade deadline, as we know. Now, Larry Bear talked about the Giants being buyers. There are two clips that I want to play for you, and I think it coincides with what we were talking about on this show yesterday. But Larry Bear spoke about whether the Giants will be buyers at the deadline.
The reality is we're just two games out of a wild card, two games out of a playoff spot. So we're right there with a handful of teams. And we've been in worse spot than where we are now in previous years, and we've been buyers. So that might give you a little indication of what our behavior could be. And, you know, I go back to years where it's actually cost us, you know, some significant dollars, whether it was the signing of Cody Ross or for Hunter Pence. But we've been able to make some difference-making moves at the break. So my strong inclination and sense is that we'll be looking to improve the team this year and beyond with moves, and so that would put us more in the buyer category.
See, I'm tired of the let's talk about Cody Ross and Hunter Pence and use those guys as an example and show you that we can have success making moves at the deadline. Those teams were different, all of them. That was 8 years ago when all of that happened. And that's putting it lightly. I mean, the Cody Ross thing was 10 years ago, a decade ago. I'm not going to bank on what they did a decade ago just so I could get excited for maybe what's to come on August 2nd in the future, because he said the reality is that they are just two games out of a wild card spot. Well, the reality is they are currently three games out of a wild card spot now after losing last night to the Diamondbacks and only garnering three hits against one of the worst teams in baseball. And they're currently two games back of the first team ahead of them in the wild card chase, and that's the Phillies. They're a half game back right now of that third wild card spot. And the reality is, here's the reality. Sure, they're three games out of a wild card spot, but they're three games out of the extra wild card spot that they added at the CBA just so Major League Baseball and the players could come to some sort of agreement to start a season. They were trying to get 14 teams in this thing. Could you imagine if there were 14 teams and there were seven teams on each side? Oh man, we're only two games out of that seventh wild card spot. That's what the talk would be leading up to the deadline. But the reality is, those other teams that you got in the top six, the Dodgers, the Mets, the Brewers, the Braves, the Padres, and the Cardinals, those teams are leaps and bounds better than you are. The Phillies, I don't really know about the Phillies. They seem to underachieve every single year, and I don't really know. I haven't looked at the stats deeply with the Phillies. I don't know what's going on with them. There's always something going on with them. I mean, they fired their manager in the middle of the season inexplicably. No one really expected that. Well, not inexplicably. They were underachieving. But the Giants are currently 48-48, and if they go on to lose the series to the Diamondbacks, subsequently lose that series to the Cubs, again, I don't understand the need to be buyers at the deadline. I just think that they should stand pat or be sellers. And something that I talked about yesterday on this show, even though I stumbled through it, was that Trey Turner and Carlos Rodon were college roommates. Now, Trey Turner, for the Dodgers, is a free agent after this year. So what's the incentive to bring this guy over? Well, he has a player option. He can opt out. And you know what, Dodgers? He could go to Andrew Friedman, Trey Turner, that is, and say, hey, did you see who we just played? Did you see who we just swept? They got one guy over there named Carlos Rodon. I was roommates with him in college. Trust me, we could use him for the rest of the year. He would be a great addition to our rotation come playoff time. And I think that he could get us over the top. And I don't even think... he would try and talk about free agency. Of course, they're thinking about it here and there, but the ultimate goal is to win a championship. So I wouldn't be shocked if Rodon and Trey Turner is telling the Dodgers, like, hey, we got to try and get this dude from the Giants. And Chris Rose, who was on the station yesterday, Chris Rose, from formerly from Intentional Talk, and now he is with John Boy Media. He does a fantastic job. The Chris Rose Rotation. It's a fun podcast to check out. But he spoke about Carlos Rodon and his trade value.
I really feel like that he's a guy, now that he's hit that inning escalator where it becomes a player option for him. I mean, he's going to opt out. And by the way, I would say that for this playoff run, he's the biggest game-changing starting pitcher that could be had. And I know that Frankie Montas with the A's, and I know that Luis Castillo each come with an additional year of where you can hang on to him, right, of control. But what starting pitcher that's available could have an impact on this year's playoff race more than Carlos Rodon?
You haven't heard about any pitchers could be traded at the deadline, because it's all been Juan Soto, Shohei Ohtani, who is a pitcher, and Andrew Benintendi. Those are like the three big names that have been talked about. Maybe Wilson Contreras. I don't know. But either way, those guys are all dudes who can hit, not any pitchers. And what do you know? The pitcher that has the most value is right here in our own backyard. And you could be getting some value and actually gaining something from the deadline, especially if you can't land a guy like Juan Soto. And, you know, I'm going to sound like a broken record anytime the trade deadline is talked about, because the August 2nd deadline is coming up. So this isn't the end of baseball talk once and for all. We still have Giants baseball going on. It's going to be hard to break down those games against the Diamondbacks and the Cubs, just understanding the bigger picture. But I do think that if they don't make a move at the deadline, fine. If they can gain something from it, excellent. Whether that means trading away one of your starters and, you know, getting some guys that are building for the future here, because this team is in a weird situation where it's like, we don't want to rebuild, we want to win now, but our team's not good enough to win now. We can't even beat the Diamondbacks. But I would be more disappointed in free agency if they weren't able to make any moves there and just straight add to your team. I mean, with the deadline, I understand you. You don't want to give up your future because your team's in a holding pattern right now. You'd have to give up everything in order to acquire Juan Soto. I'd understand all that. But in free agency, when that comes around, when guys like Trey Turner and when guys like Aaron Judge, all of them are available, if you're not making a run at them and you don't land any of these guys and you don't make your team better for 2023, that's when I'll truly be disappointed, not really through the deadline. I just think they should stand pat or, you know, be sellers. These teams don't think that way because they still feel like they have a shot. They could get to that sixth wild card spot, and I don't know. What the wild card spot is interesting this year because they did add that extra one, so it's changed to a wild card format a little bit. The top two teams in each league are going to get a bye onto the division series. So in the National League's case, it'd be the Dodgers and Mets. And if the series were to, or if the season were to end today, and let's just say the Giants were in the sixth spot, they'd be playing the Brewers in a three-game series. The Brewers in a three-game series is terrifying. I know that they won three out of four against them, but boy, facing that rotation and that bullpen for three games, that'd be a tough best-of-three series. But they're three games out of that sixth spot, so it's very unlikely that they're even going to play against that team in that spot. I just don't think we should. Like, the point of this segment is, I'm tired of looking at the past and based on the past, oh, we've made these moves before, we could do it again. No, this is a new generation here. I do believe these guys can be homegrown stars, but it's going to be a while until they get here. And a lot of fans are growing impatient. And I understand that. I understand all of that. But one thing, one team that fans aren't growing impatient with are the 49ers, because training camp officially begins today. We're getting all these generic tweets from the NFL insiders, the Ian Rappaports, the Adam Schefters, these useless tweets that just say, training camp starts today. All players report. It begins. They all have a different variation of that just so they can get some retweets and likes for the day. That's what they do. But training camp begins today, and Kyle Shanahan spoke with Tim Kawakami on the TK show. We'll get to some of that next, because it is officially Trey Lance time for the San Francisco 49ers. We'll get to all that next. 888-957-9570. Stephen Lankford in on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
Good morning, everybody. Hope you are having a terrific morning. Tuesday morning, if you want to be specific. It is July 26th of 2022. Good morning, good morning. 523. Hope you're having a good day at work. But I want to know from you, Comcast Business Text Line, because we talked about the Giants, and it's going to be a lot of talk with them being buyers, sellers, whatever. But let's get to some real sports here. Let's get to, well, not real sport. I mean, baseball's a real sport. But let's get to some sports where there's some excitement. There's some hope. That's all you want as a sports fan, right? It's hope. And a lot of teams don't have that luxury. You know, you could be a Jets fan where really you're just sitting there constantly saying, you know what, you're 2 years away from being 2 years away. Well, if we just did this and just did that, then we'll be good. You could be one of those fans. You could be a Jaguars fan right now. Actually, you know, Jaguars are pretty exciting. But, yeah, I don't know if I want to use the Jaguars as that team. You always have that set group of teams that you look at, the ones that are just trash. You know, the Lions, the Jags, the Jets. I don't know. Maybe the Jags can get out of that conversation. But I think that Kyle Shanahan has officially set the record straight on Trey Lance, because he was on the Tim Kawakami podcast, the TK show, from the 925. Trey Lance hopes riding on a guy that couldn't crack an FBS school lineup. Stu Langford, the homer, with his short sleeve douchey hoodie. Oh man, Stu Langford, the 49er homer. By the way, the Raiders podcast that I do with Joe Spadoni, who runs the board from 10 to 3 here, or excuse me, 9 to 3, Willard and Dibbs, Steiny and Guru, Joe Spadoni. Yeah, we do a Raiders podcast called Black Hole Sundays. So check it out. You can catch that under the pregame show podcast umbrella if you want to get ready for Raider football. So excuse me, as myself, a 49er homer, continues on here. But the TK show, Kyle Shanahan joined, and he spoke about a variety of topics. They closed out with a nice little conversation about restaurants and how Tim Kawakami. He's like, yeah, did your wife ask about, you know, the French Laundry stories that we had? And it's like, what? What are you talking about? I don't know. It sounded like it was more tongue-in-cheek, but I can't. Yeah, Tim Kawakami's not a comedian to me. I don't laugh at a lot of things that he says. So when I hear sarcasm from him, I don't know. It's not that funny. But anyway, nevertheless, Kyle Shanahan spoke about Trey Lance, and he expects this to be like Jimmy Garoppolo's season in 2019.
As he went, he had some ups and downs, some good times, some bad times, but we played such good defense around him. We had some young receivers who made some plays. We ran the ball well, and before you knew it, we were 8-0. And then he started playing really well, and our team allowed him to get to that point. And I see this going into this season very much to where Trey's going to do a lot of good stuff, but he also hasn't played a lot of ball. And that's why we can take him through these games and still have a chance to win each game I feel we're in without putting him in all that stuff, because he does have a defense he can rely on. He will have a running game that he can rely on. And I love our weapons with our receivers, our tight ends. And I'm really excited about our team here to where we don't have to go into it and just be, hey, we'll be good if our, I want to say rookie quarterback, because it's his first year starting. But I don't think it's going to be all about Trey. I think it's going to be all about our team, and we're going to allow him to move with our team. And the kid's made of the right stuff, and he has the ability to do it. And hope the fans are patient with him. I think our team's going to understand that we got the right type of guy, and they're going to see some real encouraging stuff out there from him early.
Not his rookie season, but he's going to be starting a full season. So Kyle Shanahan has clearly made up his mind. There isn't going to be some sort of quarterback competition within training camp. It is Trey's job. And he continued, because Tim Kawakami did bring this up. It was a good question. Are you going to be excited to not have to answer any questions around who's going to be starting throughout the regular season?
It's going to be very nice not having to do that this year. And had an awesome run with Jimmy, and it was great. But when you bring in a salary cap and things like that, there's just so many tough decisions you have to make. And we made that a year ago, and we got to here, and I was so happy how Jimmy played last year, and that he took us almost to the Super Bowl, got healthy, guys around him played real well around him. But this is something that we did last year, knowing where we wanted to go with this franchise and how you balance out a salary cap, how you balance out a roster. Jimmy gave Trey a year that I thought he needed just to get used to this league, to get his feet wet a little bit. And I think our team's ready for Trey. I'm going through OTAs, and I'm just pumped to get to work and provide him some practices, because I know the kid has the ability. He's made of the right stuff. He just needs the reps, and he's got to start banking those. And it's not just out there, but it's the games too. So can't wait to get started with him.
So that's it. You could nip it in the bud right now. Whatever reports you see about, oh, Jimmy could possibly be starting. I think I saw one earlier. It was on Twitter, and it's one of those reports where it's not really a report, but it's just someone tweeting out what someone said on the radio. And I guess Sean Salisbury said on a Houston radio station that he's heard from a few people that some of these guys on the team don't want Trey to start. They'd rather have Jimmy start. Then you combine that with the quarterback tears article that came out yesterday from The Athletic, from Mike Sando of The Athletic, who just published a bunch of things that former coaches, or not former coaches, current coaches and executives all had to say about these other teams. And really, it was just Mike Sando giving these guys a chance to just trash talk every single one of these quarterbacks. I'm just like, damn, you really went that far to just say, to find a coach who just said, or defensive coordinator who says, Lamar Jackson shouldn't be a quarterback one. He's never going to be a quarterback one. He's a good football player, but not a good quarterback. I don't know. There was a lot of things there that he had. But the one with the 49ers was that not only was Jimmy still within that tier of Ryan Tannehill, Kirk Cousins, he hasn't broken out of that tier. Derek Carr officially did, so shout out to Derek Carr. Woo! 12th best quarterback. But he had Trey Lance all the way down at 29th. Now, the rating, whatever. You only have so much game film to go off of. They're not going to put him that high based on, you know, a game and a half of football during the regular season. Like, they're just not going to. That's not what these writers do. But when someone said, and a coach that's going to be playing them this year, we don't know who the coach is. We don't know whether it's a quarterback's coach on the other team. We don't know whether it's a defensive coach. We don't know it's a head coach, whoever it is. They said that it would be a Christmas present if they got rid of Jimmy. Well, there you go. Christmas came early for whoever that other coach is. So any of the anything you read, anything you hear, you have finally heard it from Kyle Shanahan. And that's the most important thing. Going forward into training camp, just with a clear vision. Now, Garoppolo could very well be the quarterback, but from the way that Kyle Shanahan spoke, I don't think there's going to be much of a chance if Garoppolo is a backup. He said you never know what's going to happen. You never know. He could be practicing with us at camp. I don't know when he's going to be ready. Ian Rappaport said mid-August. Adam Schefter said he's cleared to practice now. There's too many conflicting reports around that. But I don't think it's going to be a competition. Trey is the number one. Garoppolo would be the number two if he participates in camp. And that's it. There's no discussion. And I do think there's a benefit in that. And I want to talk about that on the other side. Because as sports fans, I think we, as we talk about this sport so much, we're constantly creating new ideas in our head about the teams that we are fans of, but we lose sight of the bigger picture. And I want to get to the other side and talk about why 49er fans, you should feel that you are in an advantageous position going into this year and beyond. And I'll explain why on the other side. Play some more of this Kyle Shanahan sound. I got a caller here at 888-957-9570 who's patiently waiting on hold. Call back. I'll get your name and get your name and where you're calling from at the break. We can get to all that on the other side. 888-957-9570. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
Good morning, everybody. Stephen Langford in with you. Sorry for the delayed start there. I'm not going to lie to you. I got a lot going on. You know, the reason that I don't live stream the show at 5 a.m. is because I don't want you to see how frantically I'm looking going into a segment, because sometimes I got to make some last minute changes. You know, you do a little prep going into it and then you forget that you have a fan going on in the producer studio that makes noise into the microphone. Got to turn that off last second as soon as the music starts. Oh, you're getting a call right at the start of the segment? Great. It was a cacophony, a confluence of events, if you will. Now, I want to talk about Trey Lance, Jimmy Garoppolo, Kyle Shanahan, because Kyle Shanahan has officially spoken. He was on the Tim Kawakami podcast, the TK show, and he had a lot to say about the quarterback situation. But before we do, I promised this caller who was waiting patiently on hold, they hung up, but they called back right at the start of the segment, promised them I was going to get them on. So 888-957-9570, that's the Comcast business text line and the phone number if you would like to weigh in here. So as you know, I take these calls live on the air, because unless I get to you in the break, I can't do it unless you're live on the air. So what is your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, I'm Steve. It's Mitch from New Jersey.
Ah, Mitch, good to hear from you.
You were talking about trading. If my team, Dodgers, I would trade for Soto. It would balance it up. I'm tired. More than half these prospects.
All right, Mitch. Yeah. Who cares? Dodgers trade for Soto. Right. I'm not talking trades. I'm talking Trey. I'm not talking trades now, Mitch. Come on. I was talking trades 20 minutes ago. That's kind of like what the Giants are doing right now, is just they're banking on looking back in 2010, 2012, 2014, looking at the moves they made at the deadline to help them win a World Series, looking at free agency and what they did back in the Barry Bonds time. I'm not going to look back 20 minutes ago to this show. The trade deadline portion from Major League Baseball is gone from this show. I want to move on to football here. So, Kyle Shanahan, I want to play this one more time, because in Tim Kawakami asking whether he's excited or not that he's not going to have to answer questions about who's going to be starting for his team in the regular season. Here's Kyle Shanahan on the Tim Kawakami podcast yesterday.
As he went, he had some ups and downs, some good times, some bad times, but we played such good...
Excuse me, wrong clip. This is the right one.
That's going to be very nice not having to do that this year, and had an awesome run with Jimmy, and it was great. But when you bring in a salary cap and things like that, there's just so many tough decisions you have to make, and we made that a year ago, and we got to here, and I was so happy how Jimmy played last year, and that he took us almost to the Super Bowl, got healthy, guys around him played real well around him. But this is something that we did last year, knowing where we wanted to go with this franchise and how you balance out a salary cap, how you balance out a roster. Jimmy gave Trey a year that I thought he needed just to get used to this league, to get his feet wet a little bit. And I think our team's ready for Trey. I'm going through OTAs and I'm just pumped to get to work and provide him some practices because I know the kid has the ability. He's made of the right stuff. He just needs the reps and he's got to start banking those. And it's not just out there, but it's the games too. So can't wait to get started with him.
So Kyle Shanahan is fully ready to move on from Jimmy to Trey. That's what it sounds like. They're ready to Trey. He does. They're ready for him. They don't want to answer any questions about who's going to be the quarterback one. How does this guy look in training camp versus that guy? Now, it's not going to be all about the quarterback, and later on in this segment, I am curious to see some quarterback battles there because there is some other stuff that Kyle Shanahan did have to say. But speaking of other rumors that just aren't true, because any rumor that we've heard about Jimmy Garoppolo possibly starting for this team in training camp, creating a competition between him and Trey Lance, that's not going to happen. You know, all of that out the window. Kind of like the trade deadline talk at the beginning of the show. It is gone. But Trey Lance, there have been some reports that he'd suffered from arm fatigue. Now, these are the types of clips that we live for here in sports radio, just as sports fans in general. Because when we get these outside reports, like from Michael Silver, formerly an NFL insider here at 95.7, Colin Cowherd, these guys who say that Trey Lance is suffering from arm fatigue. I'm going to take you back here to July 7th. So 19 days ago. Damn, this time's moving by quickly. I feel like I played this clip yesterday. But Colin Cowherd was on his show, and he had sources that Trey Lance is suffering from arm fatigue.
What I'm hearing is that he's not his... His delivery is, they're kind of rebuilding it. He gets arm fatigue. It's not an easy throw. He needs days off.
Yeah,
and they're worried about his. And they're worried about his accuracy. You and I are hearing the same things. Because you and I know, Andy Reid moved off Alex Smith, who got into the playoffs, because they were at practice. They saw Mahomes, right?
Yeah.
By the way, Buffalo, even though Josh Allen struggled first year, was all in because they were at practice.
Arm fatigue. We haven't heard from any 49ers speak about it. We've talked about it here on the radio. We've had callers talking about arm fatigue. Well, Kyle Shanahan said yesterday that he hadn't even heard anything like that. He doesn't even know.
No, it's not a concern at all. You know, Trey had some injuries last year when he broke his finger and stuff that he had to adjust some things to fight through and get through, which made him have some weeks where he did have a sore arm and things like that. But I haven't had a quarterback I've ever gone through in my career where there wasn't at least one time in that year where their arm was bothering him. So there's no like difference in other guys or arm fatigue or anything like that. He had a great OTAs. Got to see him a little bit this summer. He's in as good of a place right now as I've been around him, and I just can't wait for him to start practicing here in a couple days.
And Jeremy Fowler said on the show yesterday on the roast that he thinks those arm fatigue conversations was just talk. It was just media talk. He's heard that through this summer, he's looked fantastic. And if he looks any way in this training camp as he's looked this summer, that people are going to forget pretty quickly about Jimmy Garoppolo. But I think here's what I teased going into this segment, and this is why 49er fans, I think you're in an advantageous spot. You're in a spot that not a lot of fans can admit that they're in. Not a lot of fans can say that they have a young rookie quarterback to look forward to. Like 2019, the beautiful thing about the 2019 season was that none of the talk about the team was about everything that was happening off the field. It was all on the field. Every week, as that team started to win game after game after game, and they won 8 or 9 straight or whatever it was in that 2019 season, like the 49ers, to me, it was all on the field. Everything that we talked about. None of it about who's going to be starting at quarterback and trying to dissect any little sound clip that you could. You're all focusing on what's happening on the field. And I think there's something very special about that for a sports fan. I mean, because think about the Giants right now. You can't. We still have 2 more months left, essentially, of the season. 2 more months, and already we're just talking about this team in the future, what it's going to look like next year. It feels like the rest of the season, sure, you can make that sixth wild card spot, but after all, you don't really have any guys who are going to be stars on this team going forward. You don't have any big names to look out for. Maybe David Villar, maybe Joey Bart, but other than that, nothing more. But the 49ers, this season, they have guys who are stars at their respective positions. Debo, an absolute stud. Kyle Shanahan actually spoke about Debo, too, and I do want to play that clip. Debo, Kittle, Trent Williams along that offensive line. Right now, that offensive line, quite frankly, is kind of reminding me of what Trent Williams had played with back in his time in Washington when their offensive line was not very good. But you have studs on offense, and you have Trey Lance. I just think there's something special about looking forward to it. It's the same thing if you're here in the Bay Area and you're a Raider fan. Like, as Raider fans, again, Black Hole Sundays, the Raider podcast that I do, we just recorded the first episode of training camp, so we're going to try and roll 2 episodes out a week, one on Monday, one on Friday. So it's called Black Hole Sundays. Check it out. You can find it wherever you find the podcast for the pregame show. It's under the pregame show umbrella. You can separate them easily. It's just right there. Boom. Pregame show with Stephen Langford, Black Hole Sundays. You can check out the Raider podcast and get all your Raider content right there. But with Raider fans, they finally have a clear vision of this team. It's no longer thinking about the next head coach. You know, it's no longer thinking about what's going to happen with these wide receivers. You know what I mean? Like, when it comes to the 49ers, it's all on the field. Now, with when it comes to the defense, I think there are some question marks there. To be honest with you, I liked the Charvarius Ward signing. I did. But the Charvarius Ward signing, to me, I think there's a lot of unknown as far as him being a number one quarterback. Like, if you talk to any Raider fan, if you talk to any fan within the AFC West, and you're talking about the best players in the secondary in that division, Charvarius Ward's name never really came up. You know, he was good. He was good. But you're also playing with a guy named Tyrann Mathieu who's just running around like a crazy person. And you only have to focus on a couple of different things. The cornerback is the hardest job in the NFL. I think you can interchange the cornerback and the quarterback. 1-2. I think you could create an argument for both. But to me, being a cornerback is the hardest position in the league. And I think we are just assuming, oh yeah, we get Charvarius Ward, our secondary is going to be our secondary is going to be just as good as it was last season. I'm not so sure about that. Now, he got a 3-year, $40 million deal. The expectations are high. But I also think we need to temper the expectations when it comes to that. Like, that's my biggest question mark, besides the offensive line and what they're going to do this season, is how is that secondary going to look? Can Charvarius Ward take over officially as that number one cornerback playing within a new system? How's that defense up the middle going to look? Is Fred Warner going to have an improvement on last season? Last season, for Fred Warner, it wasn't as good of a year as he could have had. You know, Fred Warner, his potential is limitless. I think he's a fantastic player, but there were some games last year where he didn't perform. So I think that the defense is more in question here, you know, at least going forward. You know, you got Nick Bosa, who's an absolute stud. I'm sure you're going to get a deal done with him, you know, but on the defense, it's a question of whether they can keep up that intensity that they always have, and I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will, but you know, it's not giving up the big plays, not having as many PI calls as last year. My God, the amount of pass interference and holding penalties and everything on the secondary, it was brutal. And where are we looking at? From the 707. I want Lance to succeed, but him not starting in the playoffs for Jimmy after he had an injured throwing shoulder and thumb is a red flag. Yeah, I wonder how much of that is based on them not thinking that Trey isn't ready versus just they have too much respect for Jimmy and Jimmy's telling him that he could play. You know what I mean? 707. Like, I understand what you're talking about, and I get that concern. I get that, but I think it'd be more on the side of, you know what, Jimmy said he was ready to play, and he went out there. Like, that's it. I think it was more of just them respecting Jimmy Garoppolo. He's brought him to this point as the starting quarterback. You know what? If he says he's ready to play, we're going to continue on with him. Plus, we have this rookie here. We're going to give him some time off. He's already been hurt twice this season. We don't need to throw him out there and risk him going out there. From the 510, 49ers linebackers top rated going into the season. I think the it's not the linebackers that I'm down on. I ain't down on the linebackers. I think Fred Warner can have a better year than he had last year. It wasn't as good as he could possibly be, because Fred Warner is a damn good football player. So I'm excited to see what an angry Fred Warner looks like. Because we've seen Fred Warner angry before. We've seen him come off a Pro Bowl snub season and go off. From the 707, the interior O-line is concerned. Losing Tomlinson and Mack directly affects Lance and the run game. It does. It does. But I think that the skill players on the team are so good, and they are so deep at running back that, you know, you could break out for some big plays here and there. Like, the amount of talent that you have outside of the offensive line should outweigh that porous offensive line that you have, if that makes any sense. Like, we've seen the good teams get by having a bad O-line. Now, really, when that comes into play is when you get into the playoffs. When you get into the playoffs, that is certainly, if you make the playoffs, that is certainly a concern. But I don't think having an offensive line like that, because you still at least have Trent Williams. You know, Daniel Brunskill is not as bad as everyone's making him out to be. You can go off his PFF grade all you want. I actually think Daniel Brunskill is a damn good interior lineman. I think he's all right. Not sure what to expect from Mike McGlinchey. You know, I'd love for anyone who talks trash about Mike McGlinchey to go up to him up close and try and say that to his face. I dare you. About any of these offensive linemen. These dudes are crazy athletic. You know, I'm not sure what to expect from the interior. I do get where you're coming from, but I still think you can win some games even with that type of offensive line. And from the 510, the 49ers will have a top five defense. Maybe. I want to see Charvarius Ward make that next step. He got that big contract. I want to see him make that next step up. All right, let's go to the callers here at 888-957-9570, as I want to get to Kyle Shanahan and what he had to say about Deebo Samuel on the TK show. But what's your name? Where are you calling from, caller?
Hello?
Yeah, hello. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Oh, all right. Clyde, San Francisco.
All right, man. What's going on?
Kyle Shanahan is one of the best. If he gets his team ready, no matter what it is, each week, week in, week out, I think Trey Lance is going to be ready. Yes, he's going to have his rookie mistakes, even though he's not a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure he's going to take us to the playoffs.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
No, I appreciate you calling in. I think that there's not going to be any question marks going forward. Trey is going to make mistakes. There's no doubt. Hell, there might even be a game this year, a week where Trey loses you the game, where it falls on the shoulders of the quarterback. Sure, it could happen. But they traded two draft picks to get this guy. He's in the second year of his rookie deal. There's nothing better than the feeling of having a franchise quarterback and you could just move forward and you could build around him. And the team has already been built around him other than the offensive line. Tight end, wide receiver, running back, all good. All good. And then the defense on the other side, you build around Nick Bosa. You have you have that guy who's proven he could be one of the best edge rushers in the NFL. So I think you're in a really good spot. And as a football fan, you should just, you know, before we get into the X's and O's and go crazy about training camp videos, all these different things, because that's what we like to do as fans, right? But you could take a step back and think, you know what? This could be a lot worse. We could be a team that looks like they're just going in no direction. And also, you got a good head coach, too, in Kyle Shanahan. Now, Shanahan spoke. This is interesting. Shanahan spoke about the Deebo Samuel contract. And this was fascinating, because you don't hear coaches talk too much like this. But here's what Shanahan had to say about Deebo Samuel's contract. He's not concerned.
I'm not worried about it not getting done. I feel very confident that Deebo's going to be on our team this year, and he's going to be here for many years after. I do believe he'll get a deal. I know that they're working on it right now, our upstairs with John and Parag. I know they've been through negotiations with Torrey. So that's something that I know they've been doing, I want to say, the last couple of weeks. But that's also something that's my time to really stay out of it. I think they'll get something done sooner than later, but there is no timeline, and I'm not really concerned about it right now. I think it's all going to work out.
Mm. So he thinks it's all going to work out. They're working on a contract right now. So the deal is going to be done. But other talk is surrounding him possibly being a wide back this year. Now, before we get to what he had to say about that, he thinks Deebo's going to make a lot of money.
We always liked Deebo. I always wanted him to be a part of our team. But he played at a certain level where we knew that Deebo deserves to be up there. He earned that. And now you got to figure out how to do that best for him, how to do it best for us, and how to do that best going forward for the rest of our roster. But it was nice because right when the season ended, there's no, hey, man, I love you, but I don't feel this way about you. And that's good when that's real, because I've had to go through some stuff with people where it's, I do love you, but sorry, man, this isn't where you're at. And sometimes people like when you keep it real with them, and sometimes people don't. And so you got to go through all that stuff throughout these relationships. But when it's all said and done, I think Deebo's going to make a lot of money that he's earned. And I think he's going to be continued to have a good chance to make a lot of money going forward.
With the way that Lynch and Shanahan have talked about these guys, I think he's going to get paid. One last one from Shanahan, and he was asked whether he'd stop using Deebo as a wide back.
That's something I would totally do if I believed that was the best thing for our team. If I believe that was the best thing for Deebo, then it's an easy decision. If you believe that's the wrong thing for the team, and if you also believe that's the wrong thing for the player, then that's stuff you got to talk to people about. There's no secret agendas here. We're trying to win a football game. We're trying to do it the best we can. And the one thing I do know about Deebo, of course, going in negotiations and stuff, all this stuff comes into play. But Deebo loves to play football, and that's what I've always loved about him. Deebo's not a guy that you ever have to talk into something hard. Deebo's probably going to come to you with it, like, hey, I think I could do this. Give me a chance to win. That's what you love about him. Deebo and I have a really good relationship. I think when you're away from players, it's always tougher. When they're not in the building, they don't live in the area, and especially going through contract negotiations and stuff. But Deebo and I have kept in contact a lot here over the last couple months, and I expect to see him later here today. I don't know what the timetable it is, but I think both sides are going to be very happy when it's done.
Whew. You should feel good about that going into training camp. Now, I do want to say last year, I was on this show, and I was saying that Deebo completely changed the offense when he was moved to a running back, when he started getting the 5 carries a game, where it felt like he was scoring a touchdown every single week. Ever since that Week 10 matchup, there was a dramatic change in the 49ers offense and the expectations from the defense. Like, when you're 10 weeks in, man, like, when you're 10 weeks into a season and you've gotten a lot of game tape on this team, then they throw something completely different at you, giving the defense something else to think about. That was season-changing. But it was out of necessity that Shanahan had to use Deebo because there were all the injuries to the running backs. Now going into training camp, you have a full running back room. You're ready to go. Elijah Mitchell, he's prepped and ready. Jeff Wilson, those types of guys. So I don't think they're going to be using Deebo as a running back as much this season. If anything, maybe he'll get 2 to 3 carries. It's not going to be anywhere in the range of 5 to 10 this next season. I don't think it's going to be much more than that. Maybe they'll use him, not even in the red zone, but, you know, inside the 30-yard line. You know, just get him out of the shotgun. I think Kyle Shanahan is going to... this dude is going to be in his bag when it comes to calling plays this season if he has a healthy roster. But, you know, injuries do happen throughout the year. That might be an obvious statement to make. You never know. But using Deebo as a wide back, I don't really see that happening. Now, I do think that 49ers, you're also in this advantageous position where your franchise quarterback didn't get a huge deal where there was a clause in his contract to make sure to watch 4 hours of game film a week. And if you were living under a rock yesterday and didn't see this news, There's a clause in Kyler Murray's contract that requires him to watch 4 hours of game film. Now, here's my favorite part about it. Ian Rappaport, NFL Network insider, he gave the report on it, and he gave the addendum, the independent study addendum. And I'm not going to read the entire thing, but he followed it up saying Kyler Murray does 4 hours of game studying on his own anyway. So, you know, this is just the team paying him to do it. But then he was on a radio show last year, and the New York Times wrote about this, where he said, I think I was blessed with the cognitive skills to just go out there and just see it before it happens. I'm not one of those guys that's going to sit there and kill myself watching film. I don't sit there for 24 hours and break down this team and that team and watch every game, because in my head, I see so much. And that is a lot like hearing what Jamarcus Russell said on that podcast as I played all that sound last week. My God, that situation with the Cardinals, Kyler Murray, that contract, eventually when it kicks in 2 years from now, it's not off to a hot start. I think it's it's not going to end well for the Cardinals. So you should feel good about that, too, as a 49er fan. Their franchise quarterback being paid to watch film. That shouldn't be how it is. All right, Bonte Hill, Joe the Butcher Boy Shasky, they're coming up next with the Morning Roast. Training camp is underway officially today. And sorry to all the Choco Taco fans, as it has been discontinued after nearly 40 years. So Klondike, can't believe you had to get rid of the Choco Taco. But nevertheless, the Morning Roast coming up next. You got me and producer Sam Lumbin behind the glass. And as always, go sports.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.